You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor of Island Community Church here in Merritt Island. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today on this Tuesday. God bless you, guys and gals. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday with us here doing well. There's nothing better we could do than sit under the authority of the Word of God. Let the Word of God minister to you. We're going to read and hear some excellent things here today. We're in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 16. We're going to see, a bunch of things we're going to look at. How the Holy Spirit forbid them from going to Asia, at least yet, because he had another plan for them, which brings us naturally to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and that is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, many times, you might want to go somewhere, or there's someone that you're praying about, someone's heavy on your heart, and God says perhaps either no or not yet. But remember, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. You know the will of God, that your sister or your daughter or your son or your brother or your friend or your husband, God's not willing that any of them should perish, but all would come to repentance. But sometimes the answer is, not yet, but wait on me. Wait on the Lord, he says. David says it many times. Isaiah wrote it as well. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. We're going to see Paul and Silas thrown into prison for casting a demon out of someone. And we're going to see the demon was telling people to believe Jesus and follow the Apostle Paul, who was telling people how to be saved. Why would a demon tell people how to be saved? We're going to address that question as well here in this sermon. It's entitled, Paul Goes to Prison. Part one here today on this Tuesday, and this will wrap up tomorrow here on Wednesday. Wednesday, our church doors are open for our next service. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is heading that up. He's going to wrap up the book of 1 Thessalonians Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. You are invited. Okay, let's get into the Word now. This is part one of this message. Paul goes to prison. Are we rolling on video, right? Are we rolling, Mr. Whiting? Did everyone see that slide up there for next week? Did you guys see that? It is the last hour. That's what we're going to look at. I preached that once. Maybe 3 or 4 years ago. We're going to look at some of the signs here next week that the Lord Jesus' return is imminent. It's the signs that he gave us that his return is near. That's where we're going to be here next week. Here today, though, we're up to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts here this morning. Now, we left off with the argument / intense discussions over what to do with the old covenant law. That's where we left off. In light of what the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross. And that was Acts chapter 15. Because what the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross was a game changer. Romans chapter 10 verse 4 affirms that, where Paul says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Game changer, right? The end of the law. Christ is the end of the law. Meditate on that one here this morning, on this 5th of July. And then he says, the law for righteousness. Not Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Read it together without any comma there. He's the end of the law for righteousness. That is trying to do something
are trying to keep some kind of rule in order to be in right standing with God. Christ is the end of that. There's no more trying to do rules to be right with God. You're right with God, you guys remember. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why they hated this man and killed these guys, because they didn't like this message. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And what Jesus does or did is this. By his death and resurrection and shedding his blood, he himself has placed you into a right standing with God as you believe in him and as you receive him as your Lord and Savior. The Apostle John wrote, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, that would be you. As many as received him, to you he gave the right. That Greek word, exousia, that can mean either three things. It can mean right, or it can mean authority, or it can mean power. It's translated all three ways in different texts. As many as received him, that's you, to you he's given the authority to become a child of God. As many as received him, that's you, to you, he's given you the power to become a child of God. You got the right, you've got the authority, and you've got the power. But someone had to die for all of this to take place. It's going to come at a cost. You having this right and authority and power and being declared a child of God, this is going to come at a great cost. That cost is revealed in Hebrews 9:22, where the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Someone has to die for this to happen. Somebody righteous. I mean, my grandmother can't die for my sins. Someone more righteous than her has to pay the price. Two more examples. Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law was, catch that word was, not the law is, and not the Lord shall be. The law. The Old Testament way of doing things, of following all thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. The law was. Our tutor, schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ. So that we might be, here comes the gavel again, so that we might be, right, justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Now that message got Paul and these guys, that message got these guys killed. Why is it that people have such a hard time with freedom? Well, I sure wish the founding fathers could hear that argument. I'll tell you what, how many people signed that declaration? How many amens could I get by saying that, huh? Why do people have such a hard time with freedom? I sure wish those that were in Philadelphia would be here right now to hear me say that. Why do you have such a hard time with freedom? Lastly, God himself says this, Hebrews 8:12, I will be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. Who can remember what they had for dinner last Tuesday night? I didn't say Wednesday, Sharon, because Sharon every Wednesday will say to me, well, baby back ribs. We go to the same place every Wednesday. And yet God says your sins and all of those evil things that you did before, I will remember no more. Now, that's some pretty good news. What do you guys think? In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first covenant obsolete. Now, I'm just the preacher. I'm just reading to you what the Bible says. He has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Now, in case you haven't noticed, many people are resistant to change. Isn't that the truth? And the message of the gospel met great resistance as well. Now, in today's sermon, we're even going to see Satan try one of his greatest deceptions ever, to have one of his demons try to gain acceptance and trust from the people by telling people to believe the Apostle Paul and his message. That's what we're going to run into today. Let's pick it up here in Acts chapter 15, and let's pick it up in verse 36. Acts 15, 36. Now, I can't fit all of the verses on the handouts. I only have some of chapter 16, but you should have a Bible. There's a Bible under the seat if you need one. Okay, chapter 15, starting in verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and let's go see how they're doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John, called Mark. That's the guy who wrote the Gospel of Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had, says, departed. That's the Greek word there for apostasy, aphiemi. So the one who had, some translations say, the one who had deserted them, because that's what apostasy means. It means to desert, to turn away from. Like it's going to be here coming up at the end of the age. That's a sign that you need to wait for before Jesus comes back. The falling away from the faith's got to happen first, he says. All right, so anyway, we didn't want to take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention, this is verse 39, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. All right, now Paul, one of the last things that he would write before he died, he made this comment to Timothy. He says, "When you come and see me, make sure, please, that you bring Mark with you, because he was very helpful to me, and he's been a blessing to me in my ministry." So let me say this. Don't let a disagreement separate you from a true friend. Don't let a disagreement separate you from a true friend. I love this proverb, Proverbs 17, 17. It says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loves at all times, not just when things are good, but a friend loves you through adversity and trials. And a true brother is born for this. He's born for adversity, not just when things are good, but when you're going through a real trial. That's when your real friends will become evident in your life. Sometimes you'll discover just who your true friends are in this world. Isn't that true? Can I get an amen in Island Community Church today? Amen. Some of us can genuinely count the number of true friends that we have on one hand. So be proactive to guard that. A friend loves at all times. Now, Peter, one day, he made this comment. He said, "Lord, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Now, Peter thought he was being big and bad by suggesting seven, because the old Hebrew tradition was two or three. So Peter's going to come up with this whammo, look how righteous and holy I am. How many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? He was expecting a pat on the back for saying that. What did Jesus say to him? Right, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That is what a true friend looks like. If you want to hold it up to the mirror, he's born for adversity. They don't cut bait and run at the first sign of trouble. Just a reminder. Brothers persevere through life's intense trials, and brothers can overcome adversity. Well, matter of fact, they're born for them. A true brother is born for adversity. Everything else is just talk. Or hot air, right? Like a hot air balloon. Loose it from its moorings and up you go. All right, now on to chapter 16, and a new memorable believer here, Timothy. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. So then he came to Derbe and Lystra, or Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in that region, because they all knew his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. You guys remember that from a week or two ago, right? Abstain from immorality. Don't eat food that's been offered to idols or something that's been strangled. Remember, those were the instructions. So the church was strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. All right, question. Why did Paul submit to the Old Testament law here while he's going around telling people the opposite? Sort of sounds kind of hypocritical on the surface, doesn't it? I'll answer that question with another scripture. This is 1 Corinthians 9:19. Listen to what Paul wrote. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, so that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who were under the law, I became as under the law, so that I might win those who were under the law." Did you catch that? That's the reason why he did that. He's not a hypocrite. He was willing to do whatever it takes to help save people. "To those that were under the law, I became as though I was under the law. To those that were without law, I became as without law, that I might win those. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that by all possible means I might save some." That's why he did these things that he did. He didn't care about himself. He was willing to do whatever it took. All he cared about was soul winning. He wasn't being a hypocrite. He was willing to do anything to try to get people to listen to his message. And Jews would not listen to anything that Timothy ever had to say in his current condition. Okay, verse 6. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them." You know, many times we just flat out do not understand God, do we? Now, Paul would go later when God opened that door for him, but not at this time. And it's the same thing with you as well. Perhaps you're praying about something, or there's some wonderful thing that you truly want to do, or a place that you want to go, and God explicitly says to you, no. Perhaps, though, the answer is just not yet. Maybe it's a family member that you're praying about. Maybe it's buying a house. Wait for me, he says. Wait for me. Lean not on your own understanding. Wait on the Lord if you're waiting on something. Many times we don't understand why he does and says the things that he does. He says, wait for me to open that door. Paul's going to find out here now that God had another plan. Verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now, if you guys have a good Bible, if you want some time, you can follow along in the back of your Bibles in the map section. Got the little arrows there, the different colored arrow for each of the three missionary journeys. You can, as we read it, you can follow on these maps wherever we're going. Verse 9, now a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Notice now, it's gone from he and they did this, they did this, they went there. Now it changes to we. See, Luke, who wrote this, has joined them now. He's now on this trip. That's why he's going to first person now. From they did this, they went there, to we did this, and we went there. So immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord has called us to preach the gospel. So remember this verse, church family. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. You guys know how that goes, right? In all your ways acknowledge him. That is, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I can't figure it out. I can't figure you out. I thought I knew, but you're not opening that door. Just in all your ways acknowledge him. That is, Lord, I know you know better than me. I know you're good. You've already proven yourself as faithful. I'm going to trust you even when I don't understand. In all of your ways acknowledge him. Leave the results up to God. God is good. He hasn't forgotten. And he hasn't forgotten your labor of love either. Just trust in him. Leave the timing up to God for whatever it is. And whoever it might be. That's heavy on your heart. Thank God they never gave up on me, Rick. They used to say about me, he needs an asbestos suit where he's going. Thank God they didn't give up praying for me because it just wasn't the right time yet. I had to suffer some more. Suffering's part of it. It's what he said to Paul when he was saved. He says, I will show him how many things he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. He said, to us it's been granted not only to believe, but to what? Right? Suffer for his sake. Now, Paul's path was leading to Macedonia. Asia would come later in God's timing, not in Paul's timing. Now, let's do the simple arithmetic, shall we? Number one, the friend or the loved one that's on your heart. Add to that the word of truth. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, God is long-suffering, not W-I-L-L-I-N-G. Not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. All right? You've got the equation right here. someone that's on your heart. Number two, the word of truth. God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. You just got to wait on the Lord. You know it's God's will for your friend or loved one to turn and turn to Him. You don't have to wonder if that's His will, because the Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That is the will of God. So don't give up, but wait on the Lord. If you take anything home with you today, don't give up and wait on the Lord. Don't quit praying for someone heavy on your heart. Don't give up and wait on the Lord. Don't give up and wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Then He says it twice in case you were thinking about Sonny's barbecue. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. It's twice in the same verse. Isaiah 40:31 said it too, right? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I might have said that backward, but the truth is the same nevertheless.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Thank you.